December, just like every other month of the year, is no stranger to creepy and downright strange stories. These subscribers sent in these stories during the month of December, and I figured since they didn't really fit in any other category, I'd share them in a video all their own. As always, if you have a story that you would like to share in a future video, be sure to submit your story at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I'd love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. It's stories like yours that help keep this show going on a daily basis. Now, without further ado, let's get into these creepy and allegedly true stories sent in by viewers just like you in the month of December. About 11 years ago, I was 16, and me and my friend used to always go down to the train yard and graffiti the trains. My art was horrible, but I was young and dumb. While we were painting, we heard this diesel-powered train coming towards us with no lights or anything on. We could only see it from the moonlight. I thought this was weird. We were sitting on top of a train car watching for about 15 minutes or so. We waited for someone to get out, and no one did, so we decided to leave when we heard these loud cars coming. We knew something was not right, so we stayed and watched. Three cars pulled in. They were black SUVs, and then there was two black Lamborghinis. The people that got out were wearing all black with sweatshirts, and it was not even cold out. We knew we were not supposed to be there, and we were seeing something we should not be seeing. Six people got out, and they were all very tall. I would say easily 6'5" or taller. Not one of them said a word. They all had their hoods up, but all of them had bright blonde hair, which I thought was weird. They walked over to the train car and opened the door, which is when two people jumped out. We thought we might be witnessing human trafficking or something. When the people got out, they all stood in a circle staring at each other like they all knew each other. My friend then whispered, "Vampires." I said, "Let us call the cops. This is definitely not good." He said, "No, I'm not being caught up in the middle of this." I realized something is not right. These people, I don't know if they're even human. The way they were acting, the way they were moving, and the way they presented themselves, it seemed like they were just something different. My stomach was seriously turning. They ended up speeding off in their cars after a few minutes. The train yard was next to the highway, and you could see them driving away amazingly fast. We ended up getting down from the train car and looking to see what was inside the train car they got out of. It was completely empty. We got out of there as fast as we could. I said to my friend, "We should never talk about this again. Do not say anything to anyone." This happened around midnight, if I had to guess. My friend's dad ended up picking us up at this diner that was down the street because we did not drive yet. On the ride home, my friend told his dad everything. I was angry after he told the story to his dad, and his dad said, "Why were you down there?" Like he knew something. He told us to never go down there again. After years and years going by, I was watching a show called Ancient Aliens, and they were talking about this group of aliens called the Pleiadians. I realized that they looked just like what I saw. Just the other day, I and my friend were hanging out and I brought the story up. He got so defensive and said, "I am not talking about this." I never told anyone except my wife about this story, but I feel like now is the time. I cannot keep quiet anymore. Whatever we saw was not normal. Whatever it was, whether it was vampires, aliens, or just some weird cult, we were not supposed to see this. I love your videos, keep up the awesome work, and I hope my story can fit somewhere in one of your videos. Only once so far in my life have I ever had to worry about feeling like my life was in danger. For context, I am a 19-year-old female. In late August of 2019, in which I was 18 at the time, I began my first semester of college. One of my classes was in a downtown center, which excited me because I love downtown areas. Parking was tricky, so eventually, I started parking my car at a dollar store down the street, giving me around a 10-minute walk to the college building. I did not mind this, as I like taking walks whenever I can, no matter where it is. Every walk went smoothly until the last day of class. In total, I had to go through 3 crosswalks. Each crosswalk correlated with a light, so I would have to pay attention to cars. Before passing the first one, I saw a man on the other side of the road walking. He went into the gas station on the corner of the road, and I thought nothing of it. I crossed, and 2 dudes catcalled me in their car. This made me uneasy, and unfortunately, that feeling would not go away anytime soon. Suddenly, I hear someone yell, "Hey sis, I'm Kanye. Sis, I'm Kanye." At first, I only did a quick look over my shoulder. From what I saw, it was the same man on the other side of the street. However, he was quickly coming to my side. He shouted at me again while my mind and heart started racing. I do not remember much of his appearance. He was much taller than I was. He had a loud voice and had a unique walk to him. Truthfully, I did not bother to look at him all that much. He stuck close to me, constantly trying to get a response out of me. Although some questions were average, like what music I liked to listen to and my name, to which he misheard, and part of me was glad about that, some statements he made were weird, such as him wondering what I was walking in the coal for, and if I had any money on me. I suppose even with my backpack on me, it was clear that he did not think I was walking to class, as he never mentioned the college. He even tried to get my number, which I refused as politely as possible. Throughout all this time, I could not shake the feeling of uneasiness, along with the feelings of being scared and anxious. Soon, my luck changed. Before crossing the last crosswalk, he told me he needed to take off, which he did, not even a second after saying it. He ran a good distance in front of me, took a left after going over the crosswalk, and I never saw him again. This may not be the scariest situation, but things could have ended a whole lot differently. He could have beat me up and left me on this cold sidewalk for dead. He could have kidnapped me. He could have killed me. He could have robbed me. He could have done anything. I am thankful nothing serious in the end occurred. For privacy purposes, I won't mention any of our names in the story, but I must inform you that my older sister and I have had scary encounters with the paranormal and supernatural over the years. My older sister has like a sixth sense or a third eye, and she can see ghosts, but I sometimes can see them out of the corner of my eye as well. In addition to seeing their presence, although that did not spare me from having the crap scared out of me many times. Just before I turned 7, my parents, my older sister and I moved into an apartment building that was only a 5-minute walk from the place where my mother worked. The apartment we moved into was on the ground floor, and the moment I first set eyes on the place, I did not like it at all. I did not say anything at the time, but there was something dark and ominous about it. The atmosphere was heavy. I even asked why we could not just stay at our old apartment since I loved it there, and my mother told me that it was due to our previous residence being scheduled to be demolished to make way for new restaurants that were going to be built. Sometime after we moved in, I began to see a shadowy figure of a woman with wild hair out of the corner of my eye, especially when I was alone. I eventually mentioned her to my older sister once we were home alone, after she told me that she did not like our new house because there was something wrong with it. Her face turned pale, and she confirmed that she indeed had seen the figure and that it always seemed to be peering around the corner at us whenever she saw it. She had even seen it when she turned her head, and it had been a solid black figure that seemed to suck the light from its surroundings, even at high noon when the curtains were drawn back and the house was supposed to be bright. A lot of weird and creepy things happened in that house that my parents noticed too. The mildest occurrences were when many times we would come home to find the TV on, and the taps in the kitchen and bathroom opened full blast even though we made sure to turn them all off before we left for school or when we needed to go elsewhere. In addition to doors being open and banging on their own and slamming shut at random. However, My father, being a self-righteous control freak that he was, refused to believe us when we told him about all these things going on and insisted that my sister and I were doing all these things as pranks, even though he definitely knew we weren't touching these things. This would often result in us getting hit with his thick leather belt. My father always called me a crybaby, yelling at me and bullying me because he knew how scared I was at the dark, constantly humiliating me and calling me a failure. God, he was such a jerk. Once when I was 10 years old, my parents had a nasty argument because my mother was confronting my father about another one of his affairs she had discovered, this time with her coworker, and he drove off, probably to spend the night with one of his many mistresses. I remember my mother being furious while he was still present, but once the sound of the car driving away had faded, she started crying. My sister and I hugged her, trying to comfort her, but she made us go to bed, clearly embarrassed that we had seen her break down when she had always appeared strong for us. It really hurt to see my mother that way, but it hurt more not knowing what we could do to console her. I was crying as my sister and I climbed into my parents' bed, and we waited for my mother to join us. We had left the bedroom door open, but barely 5 minutes after we had climbed into bed, the door slammed shut with a loud bang and the lights went out by themselves. I was beyond terrified at this point and screamed as both my sister and I jumped out of the bed and made our way for the door. To our horror, the door would not open, even if it were not locked. It was as if something was holding the door closed. I screamed and cried for my mother as my sister and I banged on the heavy wooden panel with our fist. But we both froze when we heard what sounded like a sigh and a hiss behind us. And in my 10-year-old mind, I was imagining Medusa coming toward us from the darkness. I screamed again for my mother and heard her footfalls in the hallway before the door was yanked open and she was suddenly in front of us like an angel to protect us from the demons of the dark. We ran into her arms and I broke down in tears, gripping her tightly. Wrapping her arms around me and my sister, she led us into the living room, and once we settled on the couch, my sister told her what happened, including the hissing sound we heard in the dark. We all slept on the couch in the living room that night, huddled together under our shared duvet. Another scary experience was when I was 12 years old, and not long after my beloved mother was diagnosed with leukemia. It was the summer vacation, so we could sleep in. My parents left for my mother's checkup one morning at around 8 a.m., and I was asleep in her bed, which is right next to the bunk bed my sister and I use. My sister was asleep on the upper bunk, and barely 15 minutes after my parents left, I heard someone saying, "Psst," from the foot of my parents' bed. I thought it was my older sister, trying to annoy me or get me to do something that she was too dang lazy to do herself, so I did not pay any attention to it and tried to go back to sleep. Suddenly, I felt something change, and then an ominous, demonic growl sounded from the foot of the bed. I do not remember ever moving so fast in my preteen years. I threw the covers off and scrambled up onto the upper bunk where I found my sister still sleeping, but my arrival jolted her awake. Before she could snap at me for waking her so suddenly, she heard the growling again, only this time it came from the spot that my parents' bed that I had just vacated, and we felt like something was glaring at us. Even though it was broad daylight and there was not anyone else in the room but us, my sister and I huddled together under the blanket and could feel that whatever was there was watching us. We lay there, in silence, since the bedroom door was on the other side of the room, there was no way we could get out. When our parents came home from the hospital, they found us shaking so badly, we almost couldn't speak. When we did manage to tell them what happened, it was obvious they were rattled by how scared we were and didn't leave us alone for the rest of the day. I remember clinging tightly to my mother for weeks after that. When my older sister and I managed to talk about what happened, she told me that one of the things that had freaked her out about the encounter was how white our faces were, and how scared I'd looked since I was always the braver one between us. Now, when I ask her if she remembers that day, she flips out and practically screams at me to never talk about it. Come to think of it, I think she was more scared than I was. Hey Swamp, my name is Mac, and I had a creepy experience with a few of my friends, Jay and L. First off, let me say I'm a big fan of your stories, and this is my first time writing. Well then, let's get to it. On a September night, a few years back, I and my buddies decided to take a drive in the northern Michigan area, down some old dirt roads. We were all stoners at the time and had a good high going. Anyway, we drove to one of our favorite smoke spots where an old abandoned barn just sat on the edge of the woods. As we pulled up, we were talking about how Jay had just got the new bong he had. We wanted to see if we could do the best we could to hotbox the entire barn. Dumb idea, because honestly, you really can't hotbox a barn all that well. So, as we were joking and laughing, we were walking into the barn and had our phone lights on to lead the way past the barn door, which led into the barn stables. Next to the stables are some stairs that go up to the top floor. The top floor has two windows on both sides of the building. Anyway, we made our way into the little barn and up the stairs. We sat and smoked for a few minutes when I noticed L was acting strange. So, to lighten the mood, I said, "Hey, L, why are you so different suddenly? And what did you see, like a ghost?" To which he replied, "I don't know. I just feel like we shouldn't be here." Jay then said, "Why, we come here all the time. Just relax and take a rip." "We'll go home after we got done with the rest of this weed," L said. "You're probably right. I just need to take a big hit and I'll be fine." Jay passed the bong to L and packed a fresh bowl. L flicked the lighter and began to take a hit while I and Jay were busy on our phones. Suddenly, we hear quick movement coming from outside the barn. It sounded like how a deer or a horse would run through a grassy field. L got freaked out and said, "What was that?" Us not knowing and wanting to smoke more, just brushed it off saying it was a deer or something. So, just to see if I could get a picture of a cute deer at night, I walked to the windowsill and poked my head out to see if it was still there. There was nothing. I was kinda bummed that I missed the opportunity to get a pic for my Snapchat to post on my story. I went back and sat down with Jay and L, saying that it was gone and I don't know where it went. Jay had a can of soda in his bag and poured it out to clear up his cotton mouth. As he poured it out and popped the can, I began to realize that there were no bugs or frogs making noise. It was completely silent. Having grown up a hunter and being from the Chippewa Salut St. Marie tribe, I remembered some of the things my family told me about the quiet woods. They say when the woods go quiet, that means there is a predator around. I asked Jay and L if they can hear anything, and they replied with, "Yeah, this bong bubbling." I started laughing, but then I said, "Anything else?" L's face went white and he started getting tears in his eyes. He then said, "I think it's time to leave." To which I said, "Yeah, I think you're right. Let's get the heck out of here." We packed up our things, which probably took a total of 2 or 3 minutes. Still, the woods were silent. We slowly made our way down the stairs and had our lights on from our phones. We made it out of the barn and walked to the car. Out of nowhere, we heard this sheep-like noise mixed with a low-pitched bass. I have never heard anything like that before, so trying to explain it, I guess, might not make any sense. I started running for the car, not giving any warning to Jay or L. I was making a break for it. I made it to the car fast enough to start the engine up and was waiting on them. L made it second and Jay was trailing behind due to him being a bigger guy, and also had a glass bong in his bag so he could not run amazingly fast. I was looking at Jay, heading up to the car through the rearview mirror, when something further behind him caught my eye. It looked like a 6 to 7 foot tall devil with horns. It was a whitish-gray color, and it was gaining on Jay, and it was gaining fast. I slammed the car into drive, and L opened Jay's door so he could get the heck out of there when Jay got in. Jay, seeing this thing behind him, threw his bag, knowing it was just slowing him down. But it did not matter. It was faster than Jay was, and it was gaining on him. We screamed, "Come on, run faster!" Jay made it to the car and slammed the door shut. I pushed the gas all the way down to the floor, spitting up dirt and rocks. This thing chased my car down the little driveway and down some of the road before giving up and taking a sharp turn into the woods. During this time it was chasing us, L and Jay were screaming bloody murder. They thought we were going to die. I was paying more attention to the road and what was in front of me. While in a panic, I looked up in the mirror and saw two red, soul-piercing eyes staring back at me. After that, the feeling stopped. I did not slow down one bit, though, hitting turns at a dangerous speed and breaking all speed laws. Eventually, we made it back to our little town, and I dropped them off, telling them to only tell your parents if you need to tell anyone at all. just in the fear that people might think we are crazy. I managed to calm myself down for the drive back to my house and made it home without any problems. But I just could not shake the fact that I felt like I was being watched. I told my dad about it, and he said to never go back there again. That's a territory of something you don't want to mess with. I did some research and asked my uncle, who is a medicine man, what it could be, and I have concluded that it was what we call a goat man. My uncle said that he has seen them a few times on Sugar Island and in the western parts of the UP. Thanks for reading this story. I hope that this can be a warning to you that even if you have been somewhere multiple times, it does not mean it's a safe place. Hey Swamp, to start this story off, I'm a 15-year-old male from southern Illinois. This story takes place in December of 2018. I was 13 at the time. My parents and I would always get into arguments, you know, the typical teenage mind thinking, it is always right, but after these fights, I would normally go to my room. But for whatever reason, one night I got the idea that a walk would help me calm down. I had to sneak out because my parents would not let me leave. I opened my window and jumped out into the cold December night. Now, I really like scary things and I live down the road from a prison / mental health facility, so I figured I would give myself a good scare and walk down past them and then come back home. The walk began to go well for a while, but soon got weird. I noticed that it had gotten very quiet. Now, growing up hunting and in the woods and outdoors, I knew that the quiet was not a good sign. But I thought maybe everything was quiet because of me. Maybe the animals thought I was a threat. I don't know. But I turned the corner and noticed that there was someone else walking. I didn't think much of it at first, and I got closer. I realized that the person wasn't moving. They were just standing there motionless. I got scared and turned around, walking faster to get home because I was soiling my pants after a couple of blocks. I finally slowed my pace down, thinking that I was in the clear. I am glad that I did what I did next. I turned around because I felt a strange feeling. And I kid you not, the man was about 10 feet from me. I screamed in shock, but just thought it was someone else walking until I saw his face. I will never forget it. He had a huge smile, like the size of his face was big and his eyes were crazy. They were looking like they were red with a little bit of white. I took off running from my house. I was about a half mile away. After I took off running, I looked back and to my horror, he was running after me. But he was ungodly fast, like I have never seen anybody run before. Usain Bolt had nothing on this guy. Seeing that made me run even faster. I heard him chasing the whole way home, but when I made it to my neighborhood, suddenly I could not hear his footsteps anymore. When I crawled back through my window, I started throwing up from running as hard as I did. Let's just say my parents were even more mad, because they found out I snuck out. Besides, I did not have time to close my window. They thought I had gotten sick from being out in the cold for too long. What is even more disturbing is that I later found out that the guy was caught. He had broken into someone's house and was caught in a closet sleeping. I found out that the guy had broken out of the mental health ward and was being transported when he was attacking a nurse and a guard and somehow bolted. I still thank God to this day that he let me get away. And I learned my lesson about late-night walks. As a wild teenager, I had my fair share of lucky misses. This one in particular scared me to my core. I was at a friend's house one evening. We were all getting stoned and drinking. You know, stupid typical teenage stuff. I was wearing a white miniskirt, a glittery halter top, and knee-high white heel boots. Yes, I was that girl. At around 12 a.m., I knew I had to be getting home, but there was no one sober enough to drive me. I asked my friend for a hoodie and some pants and then decided to walk the 30-plus minutes to my house, alone. I had done this walk many times before, so I felt safe enough to do so. Except I hadn't done it at midnight, alone. Within the first 10 minutes, I passed the main intersection with no issues, and as I'm about to walk around the corner down the main road into my area, a large green van pulls up beside me. Me being stoned and paranoid, my fingers automatically dialed 111, which is New Zealand's police number. As I dialed the police, a young Islander man jumped out of the passenger seat and yelled at me to get in the van. At this very moment, I had my phone to my ear and the operator picked up and asked, "Fire, ambulance, or police?" I replied, "Police, please." Upon hearing this, the young man jumped back into the van and they sped off down the road. I continued to tell the operator a man just tried to get me into his van and that I was stoned walking home. I ended the phone call because I knew I needed to keep my battery from dying as I still had 20 plus minutes to go before I reached my house. At this point, I'm terrified and my stoner's paranoia is at an all-time high. I mean, an all-time high. This is a long straight road with only two bends in it. However, you can see most of the road from anywhere on the footpath. After the van incident, I started to jump into driveways and hide behind bushes whenever I saw headlights. After doing this consistently for about 15 minutes, I started noticing a white sedan had passed about 3 times. Thinking I must be seeing things, I continued to hide whenever I see headlights and make my way closer and closer to my street. I finally reached the empty paddock opposite the primary school, and I see headlights again. Thinking on my feet, I quickly jumped over the 6-foot fence into the open paddock. There was a massive tree in the middle of the paddock, so I ran as fast as I could and hid behind the tree. A minute or so later, the white Toyota sedan pulled over directly in front of the paddock fence, and out jumped 5 full-grown men. The first thing they said was, "Where is she? Where is she?" They started searching the street for me, and were peering over the fence into the paddock. Panicked, and absolutely about to crap myself, I dialed the police once more. Once I got the operator, I just kept repeating my name, address, and current location. The operator finally calmed me down enough to ask me what was happening. I told her, 5 men in a white sedan were out on the street searching for me as if they were trying to kidnap me. I knew they were looking for me, as I was the only person walking on the street at the time. She told me the police were on their way and to remain hidden. Finally, I heard the police sirens, what felt like an eternity later, but was probably only about 5 minutes. They drove straight past the men and they all scattered back in the car and fled. By this time, I'm pretty sure I nearly wet myself and I'm bawling my eyes out to the operator saying they drove straight past. Suddenly, I hear a man saying, "Hello? Excuse me, girl? Are you okay?" I went silent. The man said, "Were those men looking for you? I live across the street and I could hear you crying." I peered out from behind the tree and said, "Yes, are they gone now?" He said, "Yeah, when the police came past, they fled." He then offered me to take me to his house to keep me safe until the police came. So I hung up on the operator, climbed the fence, and went to this guy's garage. He was a lovely guy. He was just working on his car in the garage a few doors down from the paddock. He offered me a warm drink and a cigarette to calm my nerves. After about 10 minutes, it became evident the police weren't coming, so he dropped me off home. At that age, I was young, dumb, and I definitely would have been kidnapped if I wasn't a paranoid stoner with a true crime passion. Stay weird, be safe, and happy holidays. Thanks for listening to these creepy and allegedly true horror stories sent to me in the month of December. Some of these stories didn't fit into some videos that I normally do, so I figured I'd share them in this one. I truly hope that you enjoyed them, and if you did enjoy them, maybe I'll do this more often. If you enjoyed these stories, please be sure to hit that like button, and if you're listening on iTunes or another platform, give me a 5-star rating, as it helps me a ton, and I really appreciate it. If you're new to the Swamp, why not join us? Hit that subscribe button and turn on notifications to never miss a new video, as I upload them almost every single day, and all things natural and supernatural. If you have a story that you would like to share in a future video, whether it's a disturbing, scary story with a human being, a cryptid creature, or something from the paranormal or supernatural, be sure to submit it at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I'd love to share your story with everyone here in the Swamp, and stories like yours that help keep this show going on a daily basis. If you're on the go and want to still listen to your favorite scary stories from the Swamp no matter where you go, and you don't have YouTube Premium, you can download your favorite scary stories from the Swamp for free from iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, and just about everywhere else you find your favorite podcast online. And as I said, it's absolutely free to do so, and always will be. I would love to know in the comments down below what story tonight was your favorite. Thank you guys for sticking it out with me all year through 2020. I did my best to try to upload almost every day this year, and we got pretty close to doing so. I hope you all didn't go too stir-crazy, and I hope the stories helped you stay just a little bit more sane. I'll see you in 2021 with a lot of scary stories. I don't plan on stopping anytime soon. I'll see you guys soon for another great scary year in the swamp.